Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show. We're glad to have you with us and very excited about our episode with you today. Our guest that's joining us that I believe brings in a wealth of experience, expertise, and perspectives around this whole bank marketing thing. And what we discuss around this and Ben, that I'll introduce in a moment, met some of my team at a recent State Banking Association conference, and I know participates in a lot of those. We'll even talk about that a little bit, about kind of being out there and walking amongst in the financial institution learning world. So, Ben, we're sure glad to have you with us today.
Well, I'm excited to be with both of you and have enjoyed listening to a number of episodes and really excited to be a part of it now.
Well, super. Well, great. Well, let me kind of clue everyone in as to a little bit about you, Ben. I know that you are the CEO and co-founder of Social Assurance that hopefully a lot of our audience is familiar with. And you are coming to us from Lincoln, Nebraska. And I love what you were kind of describing to us, that you guys, obviously you work in marketing, you touch very closely with compliance, and sounds like a lot of what your passion is around is helping build community for financial institutions, ultimately your clients, and helping them build their communities. So I'm looking forward to conversing around that a bit more today.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to talk about it. You know, we're really passionate about seeing, really community-based and community-focused financial brands really elevate and be understood for the amazing work they're doing.
Yeah, well, super.
Yeah, so we were talking before we hopped on about storytelling and that kind of being your main focus. And I know at the association where you met Chris's team, you were kind of talking about that. And I think that's probably a good place to start. We've talked a lot on the show about it's not advertising, it's not promotion, it's storytelling. It's as a community institution, people can kind of go anywhere for a checking account or anywhere for a mortgage. They tend to pick community institutions because of your story, because of how you help your community, how you approach building relationships and customer service. And I think we all kind of come from the same mold of that starts with storytelling. Can you talk a little about your focus on that and how what storytelling kind of means to you?
Yeah, I think storytelling for me has been something that's been a part of who I am. Just I grew up in a line of storytellers, but also it's one of those ways that we just connect as humans. And as marketers, I think oftentimes we're looking for those ways that connect in truly authentic ways. And the reason we're looking for that oftentimes is finance, right? It's because we know that if we're connecting that first time or that second time, then it's saving the other 5 to 10 steps that it takes to repeat a message. So the better we can tell a story that connects and creates a memory with the people we're communicating with, that's really the cornerstone of what they're actually going to remember. And it actually reduces the amount of cost that it takes us to reach a customer. So from a practical standpoint, that's one of the reasons we tell stories as marketers. Because we sort of learned over the years that that there's really only a few ways that really get us to remember things. So when I studied marketing and advertising in college, they would say, "Well, it's repetition. It's repetition. You sort of repeat it over and over again." But that gets pretty expensive. If I'm Geico, then I can do that, and you know that it's 15% or more, regardless of if cavemen are telling you that or whatever sort of methodology I'm using as Geico, because I can afford to repeat that message so many times. But storytelling is one of the key ways that we get people to remember things. The other two are, ironically, you sort of mentioned, one of those is if we travel somewhere, we get to remember things when we take a trip. So you think of the memory techniques that we have. that are based on somebody takes a walk and then they remember somebody's name, each house that they pass by, or they, you know, sort of travel somewhere. And then the third one is that of emotion. And that's something that we use a lot of times when we're building a good story, is that we want to tell a story that really resonates with people and causes an emotional reaction. So obviously, if we can get all three of those in place, then as a marketer, we can create an experience traveling. We can create emotion that's engaging. And then we can create a story. And if we can do all three of those, then probably we can be really successful as a marketer or as a nonprofit fundraiser. If you've been to any of those nonprofit fundraisers, that's the model, right? But it's because those are really the memory techniques that resonate with us. But as storytellers, we have this benefit of saying, you know, I'm representing a brand. I have a company, and we want to engage in all of the stories. And you know, when we set out to create our company, we set out with this story in mind that said, hey, financial brands are having a lot of trouble adapting to newer, modern ways of using marketing or advertising. But along that journey, we recognized that it wasn't just how do we help them to, you know, open up new channels like social media or digital marketing or things like that. It's actually not just about that. It's actually about the way that community-based organizations are delivering on the promises that they're making in their community. So we got introduced to a number of our clients that would say, well, we're already doing really amazing things in our community. How do we make that so prominent? And that really, it built a much more interesting company to be a part of. It gave us a renewed mission and vision for how we do that. But also, you know, it gave us that vision to say, what we're doing is actually really important and impactful because we're really aligning with what our customers, what our clients are doing in these communities all across the country, whether they're in Smallville or they're, you know, in the suburbs of a large city, and they're trying to really invest in that community to bring culture and to bring all of the engagement and reinvestment that community-focused financial brands can do. We get to see that played out, and that's really been a huge part of our mission in capturing those. And storytelling gets to be a really fun part of that, as I know both of you are involved in advertising marketing as well.
Ben, I love that because I know the goal for you and your team is you're not a platform. You are that maybe at a base, at a dirt level, but then you're so much more than that and guiding and really attributing and contributing ultimately to your clients and financial institutions doing all that you're describing and the creation of their story and the marching out of that on their social platforms and obviously in other marketing platforms as well, means so much more. So it's not a plug and play. And I did want to ask you, and you mentioned it at the tail end of your comment a minute ago, because we have financial institution clients that are 100 million in assets, and we've got some that are 4 billion in assets, and kind of everybody in between there. And so with that kind of a diversity, we tried to talk to them about creating your story around your superpower. What is your superpower? And Dan, you know, you and I've had so many conversations on previous episodes about that. And so foundationally building your story around that. Now, it may truly be that you're in, Ben, as you say, small town USA, and you fund a new hotel downtown or something that literally shifts the whole community. That's a cool superpower. But if you're on the outskirts of Atlanta, that, you know, it's another hotel, right? So what is it that is your superpower? So do you have some thoughts or maybe experiences around what you've seen some do to create the real context and content of that story that you described?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think that the size in community bank matters near as much, right? Like we work with small community banks, some in Alabama that we cross paths with as well, that I would say the way that they're engaging their community is so vibrant and engaging. And then we work with some that are quite large that are doing it in some really interesting ways as well. But what we see in that whole interaction is that the way that they're doing it is really centered around what we think of as content, right? And we don't talk about content a lot in storytelling, but it's sort of the raw ingredients that help us build really great stories that are meaningful in your community. And I'll give you one example that I use at times at conferences is, you know, when I go look for something online and I go type in on Google, I'm searching for, best rate for, what's the best time to buy a house, right? And I come across an interaction from the community bank. Oftentimes what it's giving me is something like, well, actually our community bank provides a wide range of services and products that deliver all of your personal needs. What's interesting about that is it actually doesn't answer my question.
Right.
As a consumer, right? I'm actually going out, I'm looking for a specific answer. And what I'm getting is all of your products. To put that in different terms, it would be like if I walked into the community bank and I turned to the first person I walked into when I walked in the door and I said, hey, is it a good time to buy a house? And they turn and they go, well, actually, we have a wide range of products and services that you could buy. What we would actually say is we would say that's actually not the superpower of most of these community-focused banks that we work with. Their superpower is that they're really great at introducing you to a person who's going to personally answer that question and deliver that in a way that you would say that it would be a lot like if I asked that question to my dad. And my dad would say, well, actually, you know, I purchased a loan at, you know, an 11% one time. And, you know, when you need to do it, you do it because that's what's important, you know, for your family at that time or whatever that is, right? He starts answering it with a story. And I think what we have happen in community banking is that we often tell those stories in person, but that same story that my dad tells me when I ask him, hey, what was the most you ever spent on a mortgage? And he tells me a story about 11%, and here's what we did. We need to capture those and we need to deliver those online as responses to the things our consumers are actually asking for, because that real authentic story is actually what they're looking for. They're not looking for, and by the way, we have this wide range of services, right? So what we have really in our role is we see ourselves as seeking out content. In fact, even as we define our name, a lot of times we look at social as a way that helps form a human connection. It helps develop organizations that benefit, right? There's a social benefit to that. And the assurance in our name we use to talk about, hey, it's a confidence factor. How do we have that confidence to say, here's who we are and what we do? And then obviously we want to do that with compliance. So when we're weaving in stories into what we're doing into this fabric of community banking, what we really want to see happen is those authentic stories that are just so rich. You know, where when I walk in the door, I hear this story from a community banker who says, actually, as a matter of fact, I just answered that type of question the other day. And here's how I answered it. I gave an example because I've worked with a customer just like that, mm-hmm. and I was able to help them. You know, in fact, they called me at 9:30 at night, and I just zipped over and I met them locally, and we were able to help their small business to recover. Like, those types of stories are so rich. So the more we can uncover those and then deliver those digitally, that's really the answer to a lot of the questions that our customers are looking for.
And earlier you mentioned emotion, and the first thing I thought of was, like, a lot of banks just have struggle with, well, how do we talk emotionally about banking? And I mean, and that's exactly it, is find those stories. But like, storytelling and banking are not even two sides of the same coin. They're very very separate. So it's very hard for institutions that they do these things every day, but it's a lot different to kind of mine those stories and develop them into content, develop them into part of the ethos of your bank. I mean, talk to any community bank and they've got 100 of those stories, but they never, you know, think about putting it on their website or putting it on social media. It's just part of what they do.
I I appreciate that you said that, Dan, because I have several emotional examples of my interactions as a small business owner. You know, we started our company with a loan from a community bank. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we walked in and I signed a document that said, you could have my house if I default on this document, right? If I don't follow through with this promise, here's what happens. And so as we work with community banks, oftentimes what we'll say is, there's a level of vulnerability that a small business owner comes to you with, which says, here's my address. It's 7808. And by the way, you can have this house if this doesn't work. And then we respond with our story, which says, hey, we were started, you know, 100 years ago, and now we're a full service bank and we offer products all throughout your community, right? And what you say is, hey, actually, there's something that happened in between there. And when I work with, you know, bank founders or even, you know, bank executives, and I'll say, well, what's the story that happened in between there? And they'll say, well, am I supposed to air my dirty laundry? And I'd say, no, but you want to build trust with people like me who are getting a loan for their small business to get it off the ground. And when I said you could have my house, that's pretty vulnerable. In your world, if you can say, hey, look, we had every opportunity to bail on this small community and for years, but we didn't do it. And when things got harder, we knew we had to double down and we had to reinvest in our community. And here's the steps that we took. We started doing loans on Main Street. We started reaching out to businesses to try to get them to relocate here. We started, back to your superpower, we started to do these things in our superpower. And whatever you saw as a weakness there becomes a really strong strength. So we were so small that we knew that our community needed to thrive, right? So we were so small that we reinvested in it, right? Those are the types of things that become really rich stories.
Yeah, that's so insightful, just flipping it, right? They do that every day. And that's, I imagine in most community banks' histories, there is probably a real conversation about, well, we can acquire this other bank or we can be acquired by this big national bank or something, but our community needs us, right? There's a decision that was made by the, you know, executives, by the board to stay there. And so, yeah, tell that story. I was just, made me think of another example. Might have mentioned this in a previous episode. We were doing a video series for a bank, and you know, we interview the loan officer, and like, we can provide a loan for any type of need that your business could have. I'm like, great, we knew that, you know. But then you interview a customer, and the customer says, "Well, like, I just call him up at 9 o'clock at night, or I'm a property developer, and I just go to auctions and I buy what I want, and I've had such a good relationship that I know they will fund the loan for me." And like that, you know, it's the same thing, right? We're willing to do whatever we need to do for our customers versus here's an example of something that we did that went above and beyond.
And I think even a next level of understanding about that, whether it's business or personal, and understanding that, you know, the revitalization of these neighborhoods in this part of town, and I'm, you know, putting up a bakery there or buying a home over there, and you know, Ben, to your point, is that community banker understands that, has lived here for 40 years, you know, that part of town kind of tanked for a while and now it's really being revitalized, and that you're part of that story and can make that connection, it is very different than a product or service offering. And so I love your point in that.
Oh, I mean, if you want to experience emotion, go take a tour with a community banker in their town, right? Just go ask for the tour. Tell them, well, what do you see here? And they'll say, oh, you know, this started, and they'll forget half the stories that they, mm-hmm. you know, because they're just sort of like, there's so many of them and they're so rich. But when they start pulling those out and they say, oh yeah, you know, I had this, there was a manufacturing company that was here. And yeah, I never really thought about it before, but yeah, I guess they did recover. And you start uncovering those stories and it becomes so rich and so vital. But that's what ultimately lowers that cost, right? So when we think about the nonprofit work that gets done at a community level, you know, we built a product to manage a lot of CRA and gathering of nonprofit activities. And the whole reason we built it was we started looking at it and said, why do we think of CRA as this sort of obligation that's only compliance? CRA is a marketing function. We look at huge organizations that are gathering the nonprofit work that you're doing in the community, and they do it just for storytelling, right? Because they're saying, hey, our employees are doing a ton of tremendous things. We're donating, we're giving, philanthropically. And then we're also doing loans and investments into this community to help revitalize and restabilize it. That's an incredibly large gift that we have for storytelling. So it's really about surfacing that content. So it's about pulling that content out of those areas where we normally looked at them as this is just a compliance function, and saying, how do we pull that activity out and start to introduce it to those marketers in the room and say, hey, there's a story here. How do we tell this in a bigger way? Because that'll ultimately lower, again, that cost to acquire a customer. And, quite honestly, your global banks can't do that.
That's right. Ben, so I'm curious, you mentioned compliance at a couple of points, and we all understand the work that needs to go on in, around, and in partnership with compliance. We have bank clients whose compliance officers live and breathe to say no. That's the entirety of their being. And others that really understand, as we are building these marketing messages and putting them out there, how that's not just crucial, that's the lifeblood of a community bank. So, and everything in between. So, you guys, have built around that. What do you see as some of maybe the big challenges, the success processes, those types of things, even at a human level in working with compliance and kind of best practices versus you got to shift gears? What give us a little bit of insight.
You know, I was working with a group of high school students Monday this week, talking about social and digital marketing with about 100 high school students. And I said, we always have design constraints. It doesn't matter what we're focused on. We always have what are called design constraints. And they actually make us more creative when we lean into them. So I see this as the factor for us as community bank marketers, is figuring out what are the design constraints that say, hey, we can do this, but we can't do this or this or this, right? So when I'm working with a group of high school students, we'll do stuff like they were shooting videos for Instagram and TikTok. And so I said, okay, you're going to use this exact script. Here's four lines that you get to say. You can use a partner and here's your script. Now, that's a pretty narrow design constraint. But what happens when you narrow your design constraints is you have to get really creative. And you start having students, that are using props and they're using other things. And that's the way we have to think about compliance, in that sense of saying, hey, if it means that I can't say something, sometimes we focus on what we can't do instead of saying, okay, so what does that mean I can bring into this equation? If that means I can't separate out my audience digitally, because I'm doing a depository product and now I can't separate out that digital audience into this area because this might be deemed as essentially only addressing certain parts of my community. Okay, so I need to market a message that resonates with my entire community, but I want to bring them in, right? Now I have to think more creatively about that. And so we have to think about how we can be creative with what we're given, in that sense. In the compliance area, we do see some things in targeting that are getting a lot more difficult. But just like in the CRA example, we looked at CRA and said, we're gathering all of this great information as a community financial brand. Like, why wouldn't I be sharing this type of information? We're seeing heightened awareness for CRA and obviously CRA modernization. That's going to bring more awareness for our organization and more requirements. So now I can turn to employees and I can say, hey, we need to be tracking all of our volunteer time. And there's multiple reasons for that. One, it's because there's regulatory need for us to be tracking our volunteer hours. But two, when you're out at the food bank and you see a great photo opportunity, I want you to gather that. because over in marketing, we want to be using it to tell rich stories about the great work you're doing. And by the way, we also want to know where else you're volunteering. We want to know the other locations that we're not even aware that you're involved in our community. And it starts to bring those worlds together and say, hey, this is about gathering these great stories. It's about overcoming our compliance objectives, not by addressing them head on. It's by saying, hey, we've got a requirement, but let's address it and get some great marketing benefit out of that opportunity too.
Ben, you started to touch on platforms a little bit. And that's always one of the questions, and I'm sure you've experienced this, but I've presented, and Dan has as well, in a number of conferences over the years and workshops. And so which platform should I be on? What's the latest and greatest? What's the, where are the trenches and all of that? So what you're seeing amongst community banks, where are you seeing traction? Kind of what's happening? Where are they able to best tell those stories? So a little bit of insight into platforms.
Yeah. So, obviously we have this question come up a lot. One of the things that I'll address in the platform conversation oftentimes is just by switching platforms doesn't mean you're now going to appeal to a younger audience. I happen to be, of approaching middle age now, right? But I'm on TikTok. And I use Instagram Reels, and I use all of these sorts of platforms. My mother-in-law, who we call the Instagramma, is on Instagram every day. So just because you jumped on Instagram doesn't mean you're automatically reaching, 18 to 28 year olds. You're actually reaching them far more on an interest level than you are an age demographic level. So when you jump on Instagram and you start posting things about golf, like, I'm probably going to see it. If it's golf, if it's travel, or if it's my local sports team down the street, like, I'm going to see it. Like, if you start posting about the Nebraska Huskers, whether it's positive or negative, I'm going to see it. But if you start posting about other things, maybe you're posting about something that's just not interesting to me. Every once in a while, my wife turns, and says, oh, did you see this, this TikTok or this Instagram? And I'll say, I haven't seen any that even resemble that. Like, and it's just not in my feed. That's clearly not something that I've liked, engaged with in the past, but she is, right? So what we have to address is it's more about the way that you're skating towards those audiences. Now, TikTok has done a tremendous job of deciphering what you're interested in and honing that in your For You page. It's also why they're under a lot of public scrutiny now, because they're looking at the censorship and things like that. So I don't necessarily recommend TikTok for every bank because there are some compliance risks. There's also some perception risks about TikTok, and ownership structure and how they're censored and all of those sorts of things. But the methodology that they're using, I think, is really fascinating, whether you're using that on Instagram or you're even delivering that on platforms like LinkedIn. My best posts on LinkedIn are highly personal posts. They're posts that actually convey emotion. So when I'm writing a post on Instagram or on LinkedIn, and I come out with a post that says, the worst advice I've ever been given was this, and here's how that affected my life later, people read it. And, I might get 10,000 on a reach on a post like that because it's highly emotional. So what I would say is look at the different platforms and start to understand the interest graph over just switching platforms to reach a younger audience. And you'll start to reach a younger audience and a more vibrant audience on whichever platform you're engaging on.
And I think that's so important is kind of what you're saying is, in anything you're doing, you've got to meet your audience where they are, right? And not just be where they are, but meet them where they are emotionally and in the mindset, right? So if you're making posts that say, going back to the earlier conversation we had, we are a bank that can provide all the solutions for your personal and business life, doesn't matter where you say that, right? You could say that in front of a bunch of 25-year-olds or a bunch of 50-year-olds, and it's going to kind of land the same of, great, there's 50 more like you, I don't care. But if you're there and you're talking about the Huskers, even if you can talk about the Huskers and take it back to banking somehow in a natural way, Maybe that's not the best advice directly, but like the point being you're kind of meeting them where they are, finding things that are interesting to them and showing how it's also interesting to you. Even if you're not talking about your products, you're making that connection. And I think to your point, like the platform itself kind of transcends that. If you're doing that, you can if you figure out the right way to do that for your institution, you can be successful wherever you go.
Well, and you both talk about that all the time in a brand voice, in the way that you're communicating with your, like all of that ties into the way you use the platform, right? Understand who you are as a brand, understand how to communicate that really well. And then sometimes what you have to do is leverage the other people in your organization, right? So as a lender, you know, I might have a huge affinity for a team in the Southeast Conference, right? And if I did, that might engage or incite a group of individuals to start following me as a brand that might not follow the bank. And that also becomes a really great opportunity because you have so many voices within your organization that could be sharing other interests that I would, as a marketer in the central office, I would completely miss, right? But if we're gathering that content, we're enabling other people to be publishing content in a variety of different capacities, then they're going to be telling those vibrant stories about what they're interested in. And that can be a really effective mechanism.
Well, I think those are such huge differentiators for a community bank versus the large regional and national banks, you know, is that's how we're entrenched in our communities. And that truly is the story and the relationship and the growth opportunity that they have. And I love how you've painted that. I remember pre-pandemic, one workshop that I was giving and a series of questions came up and I kind of stopped the group and I was like, you know, I understand the desire to put product and service information out there on social media. I get it. That's where your mindset is because you think that's a marketing platform opportunity to speak to your audience. Okay. And you're there to do business. At the same time, here's the big, deep, dark secret about Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those. They're social media platforms because guess what? It's social, which means it's human. It is about human engagement. It is about this and that. Don't talk to me about your CD rate on Facebook or it's or whatever. I'm going to have no interest. I'm not going to engage in that. But to your story, Ben, if Betty Sue is down at the soup kitchen and she's impacting lives, you know, and happens to be wearing a community bank shirt where she works or whatever the case may be, well, I'm interested in that because she obviously cares about that. And she's got church friends that are down there helping her and all that. Well, all of a sudden, that's a whole story, right? So, yeah. Don't you think that's a huge opportunity as a differentiator and the true engagement point for community banks?
Oh, absolutely, Chris. I think the way you're thinking about it is absolutely true, right? That's the way we engage as humans, right? So, I developed a group of framework that I call the currency of trust, and where we talk about it, we say, you know, the way you talk about building trust personally and the way you build trust as a brand is fundamentally different. So I might, you know somebody really well, and I would say, gosh, I would really trust them a lot. But I might not have any understanding of even who they work for. But I would say, you know, that person happens to be a banker, I think. But when that comes up, and we experience this all the time, right? You know, those are the people that you just generally trust as a person. Well, where the real magic happens is when we blend those, where our brand story, right? Our brand trust story, that's really where we start to say, hey, do you understand how important this bank is and in our community and how it's valuable? And then you build that alongside of these people who are just generally building trust as individuals. And now all of a sudden, that's where the real important product comes to play. And we start to have real opportunities for growth because we're building trust with people and then we're building trust as a brand. And you marry those two together and that's the magic.
Yeah. Ben, I'll tell you, Dan and I have done episodes around messaging and we do all this work through Dan with his agency and me with mine. And
it's such a big core part of what we do, but I can't tell you how great it is to have someone like you who has that that large vision of the value of building those stories. And yes, you guys have a dynamic tool that can be utilized by institutions to carry those stories out. But it's been so great to have your insight. And I love the way that you have shared all of this. You did it way better than Dan, than you and I do in chit-chatting back and forth about all of this. Yeah. And well, it's kind of like the other big secret here, Ben, is that Dan and I both have folks on our teams that are so dynamic at doing exactly what you're describing. So, yeah.
Well, it's awesome to see. And you know, we're, as we talked about beforehand, you both are well aligned with this vision of how we build communities, how we connect with community banks, and how we make sure that they're having these opportunities to tell these stories and grow their communities. And so I'm so thrilled we've got some, you know, overlap in our customer base, and it's fun to get to work on those together, but also, you know, really fun to see the great work you both are doing in storytelling. And if we can help gather more of that content for you that you can deliver, let's go figure out ways to do that together.
Love that. Well, cool.
And there's no discounting that kind of extra outside perspective on the content for sure. It's you know, the stuff that's so obvious to you. I mean, even internally to my own agency, I've talked to folks like you that you know, will point out something I never thought of as a story or as something to talk about. So definitely, you know, the more people you can talk to through this stuff, the more that emotion, the more that story can come out. So I appreciate you walking through kind of how to get started on that stuff.
Yep. So, Ben, when we have guests on like this, we love to kind of pop quiz you here at the end with a few lightning round questions. So we can see a little further into the transparent mind of Ben, right? And your story. So if you've got just a second, we'll hit you with a couple of these.
Let's go.
Yeah. So can you share with us maybe a personal best and a business best?
Yeah. You know, so one of my business bests has been this unique opportunity when, you know, we've done some things to help work with young people, and I really like to get to see from a business perspective how they get to grow and we get to grow with that. And so sometimes those are you know, staff members that have grown up through the ranks of, they got hired as an intern. But it's also happened, you know, on a more personal level where we've done a fair amount of mentoring where we've gotten to work with high school kids. And it's really fun. Like I said, we hosted an event this week for about 100 of them, you know, at our office. And we get to get really engaged with a lot of young people in the way that they're interacting on digital. But it also gets to fill my personal bucket because I also get to say, hey, the way that you're interacting is really inspiring, and huge things get to come out of that. So we get to sort of track with their stories over time, and some of them stay in touch, most of them don't. But we get to sort of track how that happens over time. So, you know, we kind of look at, I guess we take a little bit of a liberal view of what our community looks like. And so we get to work with students all around, and we try to get to serve them in some of those ways. And it's a really fun way for me to get to learn a lot, and I'm just I like to be a lifelong learner. And so, you know, getting around young people is a great way to learn and challenge myself to be outside my comfort zone and trying to talk to them about social media. Sometimes they call me out and say, well, why would you post that? Or why would you do these things? Yeah. And so immediately I feel very old, but at the same time, it introduces me to so many new ideas, and I get a lot of energy from that too.
Love it. Very cool. Do you have a favorite book or other resource to share with us?
Yeah, you know, I reread a little bit of Adam Grant's latest book. I'm a fan of his. I like the way that he does research and also delivers in his rethinking book. So I just finished his latest. And so that's been a fun one for me to listen to. Also another podcaster that's fun to listen to as well.
Cool. Can you pull up in your brain the most impactful piece of advice you've ever gotten?
So I went off to one of my first internships. I was developing websites. And I was probably way overconfident at about 20 years old. And I had told a newspaper in another market, they said, can you build a website like this? And I said, sure, I can do that. And so on my way out the door, I think my dad looked at me and I think he realized that it was a much bigger job than I thought it was. And so right in that moment, he said, if you don't know what to do, book a meeting. And so I remember in that very moment of taking on that internship where I was the only person who knew anything about web design, 100 plus people in the company. And I'm thinking, I have no idea where to start. And so I started booking meetings. And as it turned out, much of my career has looked like that, where, you know, when you don't know what to do, sometimes you just have to book a meeting and it starts to come together.
And that's great advice. I love that. Very good. Is there something that you always like to tell your staff, your team?
So we have five core principles and in our organization. But you know, as it often happens with core principles, is that they often get when you have five, people tend to remember one or two. And so what we ended up doing was creating a hierarchy of our core values, and the two that, and if you asked any of my employees, they would say these two stand out, and it would be humility and drive. You'll be successful in our organization if you have the humility to know that you're not always the smartest person in the room and that you need to seek some help with the other people around you. And if you have the drive to take on things that you may not have thought were possible beforehand. And so those are the things we talk a lot about in our organization.
Love those. And I don't think that people might normally put humility and drive right together. So you paint that well. Very cool.
Well, Ben, I've had a lot of reps on that one.
I bet that didn't just pop into somebody's head. That was a lot of work. I can feel it. Man, it's been so great having you. This has been really, really valuable discussion around storytelling, so many different things that touch it. And I know it's going to be really a valuable episode to our audience. So Dan and I can't thank you enough for being with us. And also want to leave everybody maybe with how they can get in touch with you, Ben.
Yeah, you can hit us up at socialassurance.com. My handles are all my name, Ben Pankinen. You can find me on any of the social places. Happy to chat and join in the conversation.
Outstanding.
Thank you so much. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Yeah. Really appreciate it, Ben, and look forward to running into you at lots of places, speaking of travel, in the near future and spending some conference time together.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Really great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate your time today. Have a great one, Ben. Hey.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great interview questions. It's a great time.
Good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and join us next time.